preview some of the key races for the Wisconsin State Legislature and Congress during this edition of our State Capitol Report this hour. Plus, we'll get an update on some election-related issues that are in the courts right now. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October 3rd. Our State Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, will join us in just a few minutes. But first, Bill Martins is here because this is our fall membership drive, and we want to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Joy. Last hour, we heard from 9 new and returning members. So thank you very much for those pledges. Right now, we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500. This generous match is from current members. It means they're going to match every dollar you give.
That is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And encourage it does. It doubles your pledge. So this is a great time to double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality. That quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible and many others as well. You are a part of the quality that you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. When you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at WPR, a lot of thought goes into what we select as thank you gifts during our membership drives. We ask people for their ideas, we check out what other public radio stations are offering, and do lots of internet research. And it's all worth it because we're introducing the WPR Logo Day Pack.
Yeah, I'd say we have a very lightweight, durable backpack.
This day pack is very versatile.
Attractive color, handy.
It looks like the straps would be comfortable. Yeah, I think it's a good deal.
It's perfect for all of your daily adventures. So ask for the WPR Day Pack when you donate $15 a month or more. Support your source by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that gift of $15 a month, if you choose to give that in order to get the WPR Day Pack, will be doubled because we have this challenge going on. $5,500 from current members to encourage you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, hoping you will go to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Can you believe Election Day is only a month away now, the first Tuesday in November? There's still a lot going on here. There's not only the presidential race, but we've got races for the Senate and the U.S. House. We've got state and local representatives.
And you are informed on all of these races because Wisconsin Public Radio explores the candidates, the stories, analysis. You hear it on the air, and you also find lots of information at WPR.org or WisconsinVote.org. This kind of balanced election coverage is only possible with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step. Now, take the next step and become a financial supporter.
The step from listener to supporter is really quite easy. You describe or decide how much you would like to give. Maybe it's $5 a month or $10 a month. That's a good starting point for many. Then you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And that pledge is going to be doubled all the way up to $5,500 as we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Thank you to Marcia and Bill from Milwaukee, who say, thank you for all the great information you share, Joy. Well, that is so nice, Marcia and Bill. Thank you very much. Somebody else, a listener who wants to remain anonymous, loves the Joy Cardine Show. Finally, a news show that lets us have good discussions on important topics. I am challenged in some of my viewpoints, and I really enjoy listening to the other callers' opinions. Thank you. Well, thank you for your pledges so far during our fall membership drive. But if you haven't made that step yet, why don't you? At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is our State Capitol Report, where we are frequently joined by Sean Johnson. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and he is here now. We'll have a preview of some of the key legislative races, and we'll talk about some other new developments in state politics and policy coming up a little bit later. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
I know that you you attended a WIS Politics Forum last week, and Speaker Robin Voss attended that. And what did he have to say?
Yeah, it was Speaker Robin Voss and Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca, and they have these things every couple of years where the legislative leaders basically, as Election Day nears, they go to these forums and they kind of brag about what's going well for them. You don't hear a lot about them talking about where it's not going well. It's really talking about what issues they think are going to win for them and which seats they think they're either going to retain or they're going to pick up in the legislature. And so one big question, kind of an overarching question about this year's state legislative races, as it is about pretty much all races down the ballot, is what factor is the presidential race going to play in Wisconsin? And specifically for Republicans, the 63 Assembly Republican seats that they're defending, what factor is Donald Trump going to play?
There is some fear that perhaps Republicans might not want to vote for Trump and then they might ignore those down ballot races.
Yeah, especially on a statewide level, if you look at Southeast Wisconsin, there's a lot of Republicans there who are still not enthused about the idea of a Trump candidacy. That's a part of the state that usually turns out some pretty huge vote margins for Republicans. So what's that going to look like as you spread it around the state to districts all over the place, you know, geographically? How's that going to add up for these candidates? And so we don't know yet. But we do know that you're hearing a change in tone from the Republicans, namely Speaker Robin Voss, who run or who are in charge of these assembly races.
Yeah, in fact, he came out with kind of a, I guess, an endorsement of Trump. Did he not? When he used to be critical of Trump.
Yeah, he's been. So it's not the first time we've heard him say, "I support Donald Trump," and he usually couches it in terms of, "I support Donald Trump because Hillary Clinton would be a disaster." You know, this is something that it's kind of a comfortable way for a lot of Republicans who are uncomfortable with Trump to say, "I'm going to vote for him." He was more of a full-throated Trump supporter, though, on last week. It was the first question out of the gate: how's Trump going to affect these assembly races? He said he was proud to support Donald Trump.
We actually thought a year ago that if Donald Trump would have been the nominee, he might have had a drag on our ticket. I think many of us worried about that on the Republican side. And frankly, it's exactly the opposite, which I would have never predicted a year ago today.
So they're not concerned about a Trump drag. They think that it's going to be okay.
Yeah, and, you know, to be clear, we don't have assembly district level polling that shows exactly what Trump's doing these races. But, you know, Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, is in frequent touch with legislators or legislative candidates around the state. You win these local legislative races by going out there doing doors, talking to people. So, you know, either that is indeed what they're finding, is that Trump is a positive, or, you know, at the very least, they've decided that they're going to win or lose with Trump. Might as well embrace the Trump factor in 2016.
So what does the minority leader of the state assembly, Democrat Peter Barca, have to say about this?
Yeah, one thing is, I listened back to this exchange, was notable to me, is that you might think that in a year when, especially at a time when Donald Trump has been saying a lot of stuff recently, just recently, that has gotten him in the news for, you know, reasons the Trump campaign might not want. Minority Leader Barca did not spend his entire remarks trying to tie this legislative candidate or that legislative candidate to Trump, or trying to tie somebody in a targeted district to controversial statements that Trump made. He actually spent time talking about how other issues would sink Republicans. And he kind of centered in on something that you'd heard them talk about toward the end of the legislative session, they being Democrats, and that is the package of bills that Republicans passed dealing with Wisconsin's ethics and campaign finance laws.
I don't know what record the Republicans are going to run on, but I'll be anxious to hear, because unlike what they say they care about, they do something entirely different. And we're finding out for the first time in polling that people actually care about clean, open, and transparent government. That's actually coming up. People don't like the idea that we gave special treatment for politicians in John Doe investigations. People don't like the idea that we got rid of the GAB, our independent elections watchdog and ethics board. People don't like this new campaign finance plan that you allow more corporate money and with far less transparency.
So, Sean, what I know that the Democrats are at least trying to take some of the seats currently held by Republicans. What are some of the targeted districts?
Yeah, and I don't know if these rise to the level of their absolute top targets, but when Peter Barca was asked to name a few of their top races, he named five. A few of them had, three of them had a common thread of having no incumbent. So these are races where a Republican candidate retired. This is the 85th, 67th, and 30th. So those are Republicans Dave Heaton, Tom Larson, and Dean Knudsen all retired. Open seats are easier to get for the party trying to make gains in the legislature because you're not fighting against that incumbent factor. A couple of the races that he mentioned that have sitting Republican incumbents are the 51st with Republican incumbent Todd Novak of Dodgeville. He's being challenged by Jeff Wright of Plain, Wisconsin. And the 68th Assembly District up by Eau Claire. It's currently held by Republican Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls, and she's being challenged by Democrat Howard White of Altoona. We kind of knew about those districts, that they were going to be something going into this election cycle. They are, among a small group of assembly races where they're not out of reach for Democrats, certainly, although it would be very difficult for Democrats to retake the majority in the state assembly, even if this were a big big Democratic wave year, because Republicans drew the legislative map that they're fighting over right now.
Yeah. What about in the state Senate, where the where it's much closer in terms of Democrats and Republicans? Are the Democrats targeting certain Senate districts that could make a difference?
They are, and I mean the same caveat applies. Republicans drew the map for the Senate as well, but because these are larger districts, fewer of them, it's not quite as easy to, protect the Senate or make it bulletproof for Republicans as it is for the Assembly. And so they've got four races that they're really grappling over in the Senate, where Republicans have a 19-14 margin. They've got the 18th Senate District, which is you have a contest between Winnebago County Executive Mark Harris for Democrat and Republican Dan Fine. The 14th is a Republican Luther Olson with Democrat Brian Smith. And then you've got a couple contests, one with Republican Tom Tiffany versus Democrat Brian Van Stippen, and Republican Senator Sheila Harsdorff versus Democrat Diane O'Dean. I think, as you look at those four, those are races where Democrats say they have a possibility, depending on the kind of year we're facing. Really, though, the 18th is the one where they have their best shot of flipping a contest in the Senate.
We so happen to have a preview of the 18th state Senate district race from Wisconsin Public Radio's Patty Murray.
The 18th district covers the cities of Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Waupun, and rural areas in between. The two candidates met last week at a forum sponsored by the Lutheran Office for Public Policy in Wisconsin. They were introduced by Pastor Cindy Crane.
Hey, good evening, and a very warm welcome to everybody who's gathered here this evening for this very important forum.
Joan Kading says she makes a habit of going to forums before elections, but was especially interested in this because of the open seat, even though the presidential race has dominated discussions.
But local politics are very important. Those are the people that represent us right down the street.
Both candidates for this seat would be newcomers to state politics. The incumbent, Republican Rick Gudex, is stepping down. Democrat Mark Harris is no stranger locally. He's been the Winnebago County Executive for 11 years.
I'm really concerned that the state has lost its focus on the long-term well-being of Wisconsin. They seem to be focusing on short-term tax cuts, but they're undermining, you know, K-12 education, the university system.
Republican Dan Fine chairs the Fond du Lac Republican Party and says his goal is to close the area's skills gap to fill jobs.
There's a lot of small manufacturers that people aren't even aware of that are here in this area. They might employ 10 people, they might employ 3,000 people.
The 18th district is complex, according to a UW Oshkosh political scientist. Jim Simmons says the cities of Oshkosh and Fond du Lac are different when it comes to politics.
Fond du Lac is unusual in that it's one of the few cities that actually votes Republican. The city of Oshkosh tends to be in the Democratic column. So this should be, because it's a presidential election year, it should be a relatively high turnout race, which generally favors the Democrats.
Simmons expects as much as a 70% turnout on November 8th. He says the 18th Senate district is Wisconsin's most competitive and that it could go to the Democrats. But Simmons says it most likely won't affect the balance of power in the Senate because Democrats would have to gain 3 seats to win a majority.
I think, Mark Harris, you might pick up this seat. I think it's possible the 14th could flip, but I don't see any other state Senate races that the Democrats could gain.
Back at the forum in Oshkosh, Mark Harris acknowledges this could be a close race. If he wins, there's a good chance he'll most likely have to work with the Republican majority.
Recapturing the majority may take more than one cycle, and I want to be an effective senator, so I have to be prepared to work across the aisle.
His pitch to voters at events like these is his record as Winnebago County Executive.
I've reduced the tax rate. I've reduced the county spending a little bit over the 11 years I've been there. But what I'm most proud of is I've cut the county's debt nearly in half.
As for Harris's opponent, Republican Dan Fine says he's been building for a run. And since Rick Gudex is stepping down, it seemed like the time.
And I was always saying, I always do it when my kids are older. My kids are now older.
Even though parts of the district are moving Democratic, Fine believes there is still a strong contingent that'll vote for him.
I think possibly it is becoming more competitive, but I think it's still a very conservative area of Wisconsin. We still have good conservative values here in the 18th Senate District.
Though the two disagree on many issues, Fine told people at the forum there's no bad blood.
And you guys might not know, Mark and I get along pretty good on the campaign trail, so...
That cordial relationship may be tested as November 8th approaches for the state's most competitive legislative contest. Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll continue talking about some of the key state legislative and congressional district races in Wisconsin, races on the ballot besides the race for U.S. President with Sean Johnson. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. We will get back to our State Capitol Report in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll get back to our conversation with Sean Johnson in just a moment. But Bill Martins joins me for a couple of minutes as we are in our fall membership drive and as we have a very special challenge going on, Bill.
We do. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members. So your gift of $50 becomes $100, $100 becomes $200, and so on, all the way up to $5,500. And there's a lot of room for you to get in on that right now. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. We do have state, federal, and corporate funding, but the source that is most important is you.
That's right. The single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you can make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $15 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you and then get that doubled this hour. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Stu and Denise from Plymouth who say WPR is an important news source for us. We appreciate the honest reporting. Keep up the great work. And we both love the Joy Cardine Show. Thank you so much to Stu and Denise. And I think if you're listening now, you also appreciate the in-depth reporting and analysis from our State Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson. So a pledge during this State Capitol Report also lets us know that the state legislative news and state government news is also very important to you.
Absolutely. And if that's something that you depend on each week, make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio and get it doubled in the process. We've got a dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $5,500. So if you can pledge $50, that'll become $100 and so on. So give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And thank you to a listener from Pewaukee who says, I already give a monthly gift to WPR. I'm making an extra gift today for those who cannot afford to give but love to listen. If you are able, consider giving an extra gift today to WPR for all listeners. Well, thank you to that listener from Pewaukee for making that pitch for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's perfect. Great stuff there. Appreciate that. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And again, get that pledge doubled.
Thank you very much, Bill. We will check in with you a little bit later. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. He joins us just about every Monday at this time with an update on state politics and policy. During this fall membership drive edition of our State Capitol Report, Sean is giving us a preview of some of the races that are on the fall ballot, besides the race for president, talking about some of the key state legislative races, the races that Democrats are targeting in the state Senate and in the state assembly. And Sean, let's talk a little bit as well about Congress. For the most part, most eyes are on the 8th Congressional District, which is Fox River Valley, Green Bay, Appleton region. Why is that the one that everybody's watching?
That is because the way that our congressional map has been drawn at this point, pretty much every other district is a safe district. You have incumbents entrenched in those other districts, and not only that, they are drawn to match the sitting incumbent. I mean, it used to be in Wisconsin, there'd be more of a fight or more of a competitive fight over, say, Ron Kind's district in western Wisconsin, the third. Not anymore. I mean, not only is he, not only has been there a long time, has a lot of name recognition, and in an election cycle like this is poised to do well, but that's a much more Democratic district. Sean Duffy's district used to be more competitive. It's much more Republican under the current map. So you have the 8th Congressional District over in Green Bay, which is a plausible, could flip either way. You had a retirement up there with Reed Ribble, so it's open. So that incumbency factor is not at play in the 8th. And so it is a real possibility that it could be won either by Democrat Tom Nelson or Republican Mike Gallagher.
And what is the Trump factor that we talked about earlier? What is that going to play into this race at all?
And so we don't know, but we do know that up in that part of Wisconsin, Donald Trump's doing pretty well. And he polls very well, actually, in the Green Bay market compared to how he does in southeast Wisconsin, at least compared to the traditional Republican baseline. And so it could be that that's a factor in races like these. We'll see. We do know that last week there were a couple pieces of news that came out, at least one piece of news that came out that seemed to indicate that possibly the race is tilting at least slightly toward the Republicans. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee pulled a week of campaign ads for Tom Nelson. And
does that mean?
I mean, this is the national group that is basically trying to focus its limited resources to electing on races where it can win, you know, and so.
So that's a hint that they don't think they can win.
They're not pulling all their advertising, but they're not, you know, they're not increasing their ad buy. It's a step in the other direction. So that's something that, say, that, you know, like the Cook Political Report, which handicaps these races across the country, it changed the 8th district from toss-up to leans Republican. Those are a couple of its ratings for all the competitive districts across the country. So, I would say, you know, election, on one hand, people are voting right now, and election day is right around the corner. I mean, it's a little more than a month away. On the other hand, it feels like a lot is happening all the time, and so we don't exactly know how, say, Donald Trump's tax returns coming out in the New York Times over the weekend, how stuff like that's going to affect races on down the ballot. It's an unusual election cycle, to say the least.
And listeners haven't heard our candidate interviews yet, so that could make a
big
difference.
That's probably the kingmaker there.
We will be inviting all of the candidates running for Congress and U.S. Senate and some key legislative races to join us on the Joy Cardine Show and on Central Time coming up mid-October through the end of the month. So we will put a schedule of that up once the candidates start accepting those invitations. And we will be doing the 8th Congressional District on the Joy Cardine Show. Just very briefly, Sean, if you can, who are the major party candidates here? We have, you mentioned, Tom Nelson, the Democrat. He is, what, the Outagamie County executive, and he was a former state lawmaker.
He was, yeah. So Tom Nelson for Democrats, Mike Gallagher for Republicans. He's worked in politics, but he's, as far as elected office, he's a newcomer.
Yeah, and I know that he's got a military background. I think he served, and I don't know if it was now exactly what branch of the military, but he was a veteran of the Iraq War, I believe.
Right, and able to fend off competitive Republican primary challenge there. You know, it was once Reed Ribble stepped out of the way, it was open season for Republicans. State Senator Frank Lissay ran for the seat also, but he lost in the primary.
What about then the U.S. Senate? This is the U.S. Senate is a race that we see Russ Feingold, according to polls, polling ahead of Ron Johnson, the incumbent.
Yeah, the story in the Senate race has been the same ever since polls started in that contest between Russ Feingold and Ron Johnson in their rematch from 2010. Circumstances now are a lot different than they were in 2010. That was a midterm election that we know now was a pretty huge Republican wave year. Russ Feingold was basically trailing Ron Johnson from the get-go once Johnson got into that race. In this race, Feingold has led in every poll that's come out since they started asking that question about who you're going to vote for in 2016. And in fact, right now, Ron Johnson is running behind Donald Trump in Wisconsin. I mean, his race with Senator Feingold has a larger lead, at least according to Marquette's most recent survey, than Hillary Clinton has over Donald Trump. Clinton leads Trump by like 2, and in the Senate race, Feingold's over Johnson by 6 in the most recent survey of likely voters. So that's a situation where, it, at least at this point, it would seem that those benefits of incumbency are eluding Ron Johnson. He's not getting that benefit of having been there for 6 years. In fact, his name ID is not too great for an incumbent U.S. senator. There are a lot of voters who still don't have an opinion of him.
So let's kind of recap a little bit here. We have in the U.S. Senate race, we have a Democrat leading in the polls over a Republican incumbent. In a swing district, that is an open seat in the 8th Congressional District, there's indications that that might be leaning Republican now, though we
don't know. I mean, but sure, that there are signs last week that I think Republicans were happy to see.
And we have a Republican-controlled state legislature that is going to stay at least Republican-controlled state assembly. There's really no question about that, is there?
It would have to be a monumental, you know, gargantuan Democratic wave year for that to change. It's a 63-36 majority over there, and the map just so strongly favors Republicans. Mm-hmm. It's probably not going to change. It's the Senate where I think people are more focused because there's a smaller number of districts and a more plausible chance that, you know, Democrats need to flip three. They certainly have their work cut out for them on this map, but there's a chance. You've got the 18th, which we heard Patty Murray's piece on that a little while ago up in the Fox Valley area. The other one we haven't really talked about too much is the 14th with Republican incumbent Luther Olson, and he's being challenged by Democrat Brian Smith. There have been election cycles where Democrats basically just kind of let Senator Olson have it up there. When I say let him have it, I don't mean like attack him. They don't really make a huge effort to go after that district. And they are this time. That is one where, you know, we've talked about Trump's popularity is kind of in pockets around the state, doing pretty well up in by Green Bay, not so well in southeast Wisconsin. Well, part of Senator Olson's district is in the Madison media market where Trump is not too popular. And I don't know if that's a factor that's hurting him this go round, but you do see, I mean, I think you could safely say that Senator Olson is the Democrats' number two target in the state Senate this time. And they're also trying to put this, you know, issues with the King Veterans Home, kind of lay those at his doorstep because King is in Senator Olson's district.
Well, stand by, Sean, as we will be getting to some more updates on some key election-related court cases, including one on voter ID, and we might hear something on John Doe today, and more. We will we'll talk about those coming up. But Bill Martins is here now with an update on how we are doing so far during the State Capitol Report during our fall membership drive. Bill, how's that challenge working?
Well, we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500 in effect right now, and we've got quite a bit of room in there for you to get your pledge doubled. So let's not leave any money sitting on the table. Take advantage of that. Your pledge of $50 becomes $100, $100 becomes $200, and so on. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio to hear talk about issues on current issues of the day and including state politics during our state capitol report. You enjoy hearing Sean's analysis of the issues. You enjoy participating in these discussions. This is a part of the informative election-related coverage that we do on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I hope you consider it worthy of a pledge.
Absolutely. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, here's what to expect. It's a very short process. It only takes a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And that's it. You're done. Make your first donation to WPR. You'll feel great about it. Many first-time donors give $5 or $10 a month, but that amount is totally up to you when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Or you can call 888-202-2552 and make your pledge. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your donation.
And remember, we've got this dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $5,500 from new and current members. So make that pledge now. Your pledge will go twice as far at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, during this pledge drive, we are also offering some thank you gifts. We're offering something new and cool. You can ask for the WPR Day Pack. It's like a backpack, I guess.
Or you can use it as a backpack or as a tote. It's really lightweight, yeah.
And it is yours for a $15 a month pledge or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So two great reasons to make your pledge right now. You can, if you pledge $15 a month, you can get the day pack. You'll also have your pledge doubled up to $5,500, and we're not even halfway to that goal yet. So there's lots of room for you to get in and get that pledge doubled and help to ensure that programs like the State Capitol Report stay on the air. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Bill Martins. We will check in at the end of the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report. We'll get back to state politics and policy after this. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. We have been previewing some key state legislative races and congressional races so far during the State Capitol Report. Now we have an update on some important court cases that are related to the election, and we will welcome your questions, your comments, your views, your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to call us and join us on air. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So, Sean, this is there's some really important court cases. Let's talk a little bit about this voter ID update that happened on Friday.
Yeah, this was interesting because it essentially is a case where a federal judge in the case, basically read the papers, didn't like what he saw, and ordered the Department of Justice to investigate. So just as background, there were the Journal Sentinel and I was The Nation, yeah, who reported last week on audio recordings that were provided by this group called Vote Riders. And Vote Riders said that the audio recordings showed or featured a man being denied an ID and directed away from a petition process for people who can't easily get identification. And this is at the DMV. And this is a process that the DMV, according to Judge Peterson in federal court, is supposed to have ironed out by now. Actually, there's a couple of federal court cases that are still ongoing as pertains to voter ID and other election-related laws in Wisconsin. And they're both really focused on what's going on at the DMV right now. And does the DMV have a process that's easy and fast for people to get identification if they don't have a birth certificate or if they don't have everything they need to just get a driver's license or a photo ID to vote? So.
Yeah. And I was going to say, so what this reporting showed was that somebody would go to the DMV. I think one of the examples was a guy from Chicago who wanted to get a voter ID, and he was turned away.
I mean, the federal the recording features him. You know, you hear his voice saying, "I have this," and then you hear two other voices saying, "You know, that we can't do that right now." Judge Peterson heard that, said in a brief order, quote, "These reports, if true, demonstrate that the state is not in compliance with this court's injunction order, which requires the state to promptly issue a credential valid as a voting ID to any person who enters this petition process." So he wants an investigative report on this by the Wisconsin Department of Justice by October 7th.
So does this play a role in the election at all?
I think the presumption all along in these voter ID cases is as you get closer to election day, courts are going to be a little bit leery about making any changes to the status quo, whatever it is. I mean, you look back in 2014, there was a ruling by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, which reinstated voter ID in September leading up to the election, and then the Supreme Court stepped in and said, no, not right now. We're going to put this on hold. A lot of people felt like that was likely a case of timing. You don't make changes like that so close to an election. So it is October now. Does that mean that federal courts are going to step in and say no voter ID? You know, it looks like they're fighting around the margins more and with these DMV issues right now, and you know, potentially having a court step in and tell the DMV, you need to do more to make this process run more smoothly.
So besides this this federal judge ordering a state investigation into our DMV voter ID procedures, there is another ongoing lawsuit. The Wisconsin ACLU wants to overturn voter ID.
That is the longest running lawsuit of voter ID. It dates back to 2011. It's taken many twists and turns. It's known as the Frank case in the federal court system. And they're basically coming back to the court and saying, look, you entrusted the DMV to come up with this system that's going to protect people's rights. The DMV has not proven up to the task. And in the interim, by the way, we've had courts of appeals in other parts of the country issue rulings that strike down voter ID laws. So the ACLU is telling the Court of Appeals now, we want you to revisit this issue. We want you to strike down that entire voter ID law in Wisconsin. Again, as far as timing goes, it seems unlikely that the court would take a major step like that, leading, you know, this close to Election Day. But this is something where the ACLU obviously is playing the long game in this case. They've been at it for 5 years now. And so that's where they're at now. They're saying, let's get back to this issue here. Let's see if maybe we can't overturn this whole law.
Last week when you were on the State Capitol Report, you mentioned that the U.S. Supreme Court was going to be getting together to discuss whether or not to take Wisconsin's John Doe case, for lack of a better way to describe that. And now we might hear today what that decision is?
We might hear. The U.S. Supreme Court had a conference on September 26 where it discussed this case among many others. And essentially the court is not issuing decisions in these cases. It's deciding whether or not it's going to take these cases. And so we could hear, you know, we could hear shortly after we get off the air here, or at least after I get off the air, you're going to be busy. But the U.S. Supreme Court could rule this morning on whether it's going to hear the case known as John Doe 2 in Wisconsin. And this was an investigation of involving Governor Scott Walker's campaign and conservative groups into whether they broke the law when they pretty closely coordinated during the recall elections of 2011-2012. At issue in the case, according to prosecutors, they've basically raised a couple of issues with the U.S. Supreme Court. One, they've said that our state Supreme Court misread federal campaign finance law and federal campaign finance decisions when it shut down John Doe 2. And they're saying that our court, the state Supreme Court, didn't consider, you know, the possibility of the appearance of quid pro quo corruption when you have campaigns and candidates soliciting or working with these third-party groups to raise unlimited donations from donors who can keep their donors secret. Typically, we've learned a lot about them in this case, but typically you don't know about those donors, and they can give as much as they want. So that's one issue they raised, is that we had a misread of federal campaign finance law here. They want the U.S. Supreme Court to step in and say this is kind of a teachable moment, and we're going to reopen this case. The other issue they're raising with the court is that two of the justices in Wisconsin, Michael Gableman and David Prosser has since retired, that they should have recused themselves from this case because their campaigns for the state Supreme Court were helped by the very groups that are under investigation here, namely the Wisconsin Club for Growth. So, you know, if the U.S. Supreme Court takes the case, we'll see what they say about these issues. If they don't, you could get a one or two sentence order from the court saying, we reviewed your case and we've decided not to take it. You know, they don't have to issue any kind of explanation there, and they often don't.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay tuned to see if they take it or not. But you mentioned that typically we don't know who donates to third party groups because those donor lists can be secret.
and typically are. We know now because of the leaked documents from the John Doe 2 probe that someone leaked to the Guardian.
Right.
And for example, we know there was somebody who sold lead paint in the past.
Yeah, so there were a handful of companies that used to manufacture the lead used in lead paints, and they were the subject of a number of lawsuits in Wisconsin. One of the executives for one of those companies gave heavily to the Wisconsin Club for Growth.
$750,000.
Total among three donations. Right around the time that the Republican legislature and Governor Walker made pretty major changes to the rules for lawsuit in Wisconsin, and specifically one that retroactively said that it would be harder to bring these lawsuits. So even if people already had these lawsuits in the pipeline, the change they passed in the budget committee a few years ago would have said, no, you have to prove something a little bit differently than you thought you had to.
Just as an example. What else? A redistricting lawsuit is in the news?
Yeah, I include this on here because the update is no update, Okay. Basically. And this could potentially be kind of a bombshell case, or it could be, you know, it could be nothing. But this is something that 4 months ago, a panel of three federal judges concluded a trial in this challenge to Wisconsin's legislative map. And this is a challenge unlike any other you've seen around the country, where plaintiffs, who are a group of Democratic voters in Wisconsin, say that this map has basically silenced their voices, have excluded them from the process in Wisconsin. They're alleging in their lawsuit that this is a clear-cut case of a partisan gerrymander. That is a situation where Republicans, strictly for partisan ends, drew these districts to silence the voices of Democrats. And this is something that the U.S. Supreme Court has typically not weighed in on or not upheld. They have sort of accepted the fact that partisanship happens in the redistricting process. We don't like it, but we don't know how to measure it. And so what plaintiffs are trying to do here is say, okay, court, we have a way to measure it. And in Wisconsin, you've got a clear-cut case of a partisan gerrymander, and you need to overturn this map, and you need to use this as a case that's an example around the country and overturn maps elsewhere based on this same argument. There are three federal judges who were interested enough in that argument to hear the case go to trial, which was in itself sort of a big win for the Democratic plaintiffs. But again, we're getting close to Election Day. As you near, that orbit of the election, basically, it becomes less likely that the federal court's going to step in and make changes.
And briefly, because we're out of time, Wisconsin's right to work law was upheld last week.
Yeah, and I mean, not an election law here, but a big win for the Wisconsin right to work law, which bans mandatory union dues at private sector businesses. There are a couple challenges to the law in state court, a couple in federal court, but essentially this decision means that the law will continue to be upheld in Wisconsin, that right to work is the law in Wisconsin.
Thank you very much, Sean, and we will listen for your update on whether the U.S. Supreme Court takes up the John Doe 2 issue.
All right. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can follow him on Twitter at SJohnsonWPR. And Bill Martins joins me for the last couple of minutes of the program as we are in the fall membership drive, and we are trying to fulfill a challenge grant.
We are, and we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500, and we still have room for about $1,500 more. Let's not leave any of that money on the table, folks. So if you can make a gift of, say, $50, it becomes $100, $100 becomes $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match right now and double your support for WPR programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You share every weekday morning with this program, or most. Maybe your alarm clock wakes you up. up to it. Maybe you share breakfast in the kitchen or you drive to work with us. Your morning wouldn't be the same without our great guests like Sean Johnson and the discussions on current issues of the day. Pledge your support for these morning conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500 is in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because current members will double every dollar you give. That's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is your go-to place for politics and election coverage. We are doing lots of it, and we will do lots more. Bill is inviting all of the candidates that are running for Congress or for U.S. Senate and some key state legislative races to be our guests on this show. They'll also be invited on Central Time. So you will hear straight from the candidate's mouth during those candidate interviews coming up. Help us pay for this kind of in-depth programming with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Susan from Cottage Grove says, Joy Cardine's State Capitol Report and the Week in Review are great.
Thank you, Susan.
Sandra from Kakana says, my bedside radio is always set to WPR and NPR, and it keeps me company if I'm awake during the night and as I wake up every morning. So thank you, Sandra. If this is something that's of value to you, make that pledge and get it doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, let's not leave any of this money on the table. Double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Bill Mertens, Nyasia Ellison, and Brianne Shaw. So this is the Ideas Network.